Hey, fabulous people. Camille Forte here. Thank you for tuning in. I think you will find this podcast in particular very well worth it. A little heated, a little spicy, but I think that it's going to be very valuable. And so naturally, I could not do a podcast of that importance without the illustrious, the intelligent... What? I'm introducing you.
Clever Lang. I'm Clever Lang this week.
You're Clever... Okay.
I was Apollo last week.
The illustrious, the intelligent, the charming, the irresistible Clever Lang. Formerly known as Apollo Creed, formerly known as Mike.
Hello.
So, I bring to you today... And this is by no means, you know, with the desire to scare you, but rather to protect you. And it's something that's bothered me for years. I actually looked on my LinkedIn profile and it's 3 years almost to the day. In August of 2014, I wrote a blog called The Fastest Way to Know If Your Provider is Legitimate, Any Business, Any Industry. And the reason I had written that blog was because my digital career literally blossomed as digital was becoming a thing. You know, back in the MySpace days, I was sort of hacking ways to get businesses promoted on MySpace, and it worked. But hey, great for all of us marketers, you know, Facebook came out and... Here we are many years later with the biggest, most detailed targeting platform in the advertising world. So we've come a long way. But the one thing that hasn't changed, there are so many, Mike, help me keep this podcast PG. Charlatans, is that a good word?
Douchebags.
I don't know if that's PG, but... I mean,
anyone that steals your money knowingly and willfully doing it by deception is a douchebag.
Okay. I actually appreciate that. You put it right out there.
Our listeners are adults. Unless we had an 8-year-old that's, you know, slinging, you know, lemonade and needs SEO help, dude, we should be fine.
Yeah, it's, you know, that old Russian proverb, I'd rather be slapped with the truth and kissed with a lie. Well, here's the slap,
that
folks.
That explains why a lot of Russian people kiss me then. I don't know.
You wish. But ever since digital became digital, okay, there was something called SEO. And after SEO started becoming important for business, all of a sudden there are a whole bunch of people who found out what it stood for. And they went around, they put up their shingle, they set up their shop, and they went around and they told people, hey, I do SEO. I'm an expert. And because no one knew what SEO was, they only were just finding out that they needed it, they paid. And they paid handsomely. Same happened with social media, same happened with content, you name it. Every aspect of digital marketing. Now, Google, over the years, has come out with lots of algorithms, to prevent or to stop a lot of the quote-unquote black hat marketing practices, like bad backlinks, phony backlinks, contrived backlinks, keyword stuffing, you know, you name it. There's a new Google algorithm all the time. But the point is that it sometimes feels like the majority of the industry is scamming people. And that makes it really hard for good marketers who actually dedicate themselves to it. And it's, number one, you know, what brought this podcast about is because, number one, I am tired of talking to new clients who bring me their horror stories of how badly they were burned before, how much they were charged, and had absolutely no services done. Wait, Mike's raising his hand.
An interesting statistic. I'll give you this quick statistic on small business. for every company that has used the black hack practice, this is in dollars. So if SEO provider that's a questionable SEO provider is charging, you know, let's say $1,000 a month for basic SEO service, that business, that said business, I won't mention by name, lost $12,000 in 1 year due to a bad marketer and had to pay another $2,000 because of bad hack practices. Now, that company only pulls in $40,000 a year because they're a small mom-and-pop organization. So do you think they could afford to lose 25% of their revenue?
And I urge you to take... Thank you, Mike. Excuse me, Clubber. I urge you to take that statistic seriously because... And this really hit me when we were doing video. We were up shooting some video for a doctor. And he was telling us about a previous provider that he had and how he ended up losing, I think it was $25,000 because of bad backlinks that his provider...
And he was banned on Google for 6 months, if I remember
correctly. Yes, he had to wait 6 months in order for his business to appear on Google again. And keep in mind, those were just the fines to... Google or the FTC, because yes, the FTC is now very heavily involved in digital marketing, and that did not include the fact, I mean, you could see it in this doctor's eyes, how betrayed he felt, the look in his eyes when he told us how much he was paying this SEO provider every month. And he could not recover that money, and now he had to pay $25,000 in fines and wait 6 months. And he doesn't know anything about SEO. You know, he was just a guy who outsourced his digital marketing. So it's important to know, are you getting what you're paying for? And does your digital marketing... does your digital marketing provider know what they're doing? And that brings me to the second reason that I'm on a rant about this today. As a marketer, I am that geek who actually looks at the ads. I look at everything from how good is the copy, what was the image used, you know, I'm sort of reverse engineering or dissecting the ads I see all the time. And, you know, naturally I get a lot of them. And there have been a lot of courses sold online. I am all for online education. And to an extent, I am semi for online, I guess, marketing education, because I found this ad the other day down my feed, and I'm going to read it to you here. Digital marketing is a growing need. Digital spending surpassed tradition advertising in 2016 and is going to experience double-digit growth in 2017. Now, I'm not here to argue with that. I don't have those numbers in front of me, and I don't care. What I care about is the fact that the very next sentence says, it's easy to start a digital marketing business. All you really have to do is say you offer digital marketing. I am reading that verbatim. I am looking at the ad in front of me. When this podcast is published, I don't, you know, maybe I can find some copyright friendly way to include this little snippet here. But it says that all you really have to do is say you offer digital marketing. So understand, folks, that they're literally farming, you know, self-proclaimed digital marketers on a daily basis. And these people are paying a couple grand just to learn how to convince you that they know how to serve you. Mike, do you have anything? You haven't raised your hand. You're quieter than usual.
No, I'm actually looking at ways to see if your digital marketing company is legitimate or you're being catfished.
Catfished. I like that you use that. Well, in my Pulse article on LinkedIn from August 2014, you know, it's funny because I read through it and I was surprised that a lot of it is still really relevant. Now, we live in a far more virtual age right now where, you know, your provider may be in a different part of the world, a different part of the country. So where I recommend ask your provider out for a drink or for lunch. You might instead want to, say, make that a Skype session. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike brought up a good point. There is no reason not to be able to communicate face-to-face about your marketing services, because there's Google Hangouts, there's WebEx, there's JoinMe.
FaceTime, if you have
FaceTime.
An Apple item, device.
Even if it's on your smartphone, there are so many free ways to have a face-to-face. There's no excuse not to.
I like to quote two of my famous reality stars that I'm a big fan of, like Neve and Max from Catfish.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't get on a video chat with you, then they're hiding something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But not only that, you know, I've seen some gnarly stuff, you know, over the years. And I think the one tip that really stands the test of time is, can you talk shop with your marketing provider? You know, just sort of when you're on the phone with them, you know, have a phone call and ask them. So, you know, what's new in social media? What are Facebook's latest features? You may not know the answer to that, and you don't have to be a marketing expert to ask that, but social media moves so quickly and new features are rolled out so frequently. I mean, all the time. Just toward the end of last week, Facebook rolled out 4 new features for business pages. So if your provider draws a blank and they don't know what, you know, right off the cuff what to tell you what's new with Facebook, or if it's SEO, say, hey, what's new with SEO, you know? And if they say, hey, you know, there's this algorithm, or there have been no algorithms, but, you know, we're really focusing on voice search, then you can get a sense if that person is BSing you or not. You know, if they're blowing smoke up your... Yes, Michael?
Clubber,
sorry.
One thing to always understand is your marketing, you know, whether you're marketing person or your marketing agency, they are, you know, like not shutterbugs, but they're like talkative bugs. You can't shut them up. They are always, for the last 12 to 14 years in SEO, I have not seen a day where there was something not being taught, not something new, or not something being upgraded when it comes to digital marketing.
Mm.
If they tell you, oh, there's nothing new today, then that means either A, they're not out there looking for something new that's working to apply to your business, or B, they don't know what marketing is, or C, they're waiting for the next Gary Vaynerchuk or Ryan Deese or somebody's podcast or, you know, daily blog to come up so they could paraphrase what they're reading on there.
That is also very, very common. You know, unfortunately, there have become so many self-proclaimed marketing superstars. And the fact is that if you're a marketing geek like myself, you've actually been around long enough to follow the people that they ripped their stuff from, which is actually, it's disappointing, but it's funny at the same time. For example, to watch a very, very popular marketer, you know, make his daily video about something and be so passionate about it, and then, you know, go and see the same video that Tim Ferriss did, I don't know, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, and it's like, you know, everything that glitters is not gold.
Put it this way, if your marketer is paraphrasing someone, then they just found out that Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
And again, you don't have to be a marketing expert. You do have to be a little bit of a shrewd people person and know how to throw some curveball questions. Or, you know, one thing that I highly recommend, you know, the one who, first of all, the one who writes the check has the right to check. You have every right to look into what you're being served. If you're being given a spreadsheet of all of the backlinks that were created for you, I highly recommend you, you know, copy paste that link address into your browser and find out where does that so-called backlink really go, because I've seen some providers that will provide 20 or 25 backlinks in a month. And let me tell you something, a real quality backlink takes a long time to put it up, because you're putting it up on a legitimate site that millions of people normally go to because they want to out of interest. And unfortunately, most of the backlinks that are quote-unquote sold are actually leading back to crazy pages, websites where, you know, somehow they get a fake high domain ranking. And so it may have some short-term benefit for your website until, of course, the bots come along and realize that they're fake backlinks, which, by the way, they're doing in real time now. And so if the backlinks go to some crazy page that no one would ever go to because, you know, it has really interest, you're being sold spam. You know, you're, and it could be endangering your business. Like I said, the FTC has gotten very involved in digital marketing since about 2010, 2012. 2006. No, but it wasn't until 2010 they started
enforcing,
putting those, you know, just shy of $1 million penalties on companies that were hiring people to give fake reviews. Mm-hmm. So
something to keep in mind when you ask your marketer to say, hey, where my backlinks are coming from, and let's say you're a shoes, you know, your shoe company, you sell Nike, you know, Reebok, Puma, etc. If you're seeing men's steel underwear as one of the backlinks, you gotta ask your marketer, like, why are we being backlinked by a company that has nothing to do with us? You know, if it's a sock company and you're being backlinked by a sock company, and if you sell shoes, for an example, then that's a relevant backlink. But if you're being backlinked by, you know, Marvel's Daredevil out now on Netflix, and that site has nothing to do with anything, that can hurt your overall rating, because it destroys your integrity as a business and what your relevance is on the internet.
Yeah, and that's really what the search engines, the algorithms, that's what they look for, is relevance. That's a really good point, Mike. You know, the funny thing is that some of the backlinks I've seen are so out there that it's not even like a blog or an article on a site. It's just a sentence, and mm-hmm. part of the sentence is hyperlinked. And they're on sites where no one would ever actually go.
Here, another interesting fact. The text on the site. The anchor text could be one thing, but the destination URL could be totally something different.
Mm-hmm.
This actually happened to a friend of mine where he runs taco trucks in the Bay Area. Camille and I mentioned him before, where one of his backlinks was going to a kid's daycare center in Nova Scotia. And the text said, to know more about what kids are reading, click here. But when you clicked on the link, and went to his URL in California.
I've actually seen, it was someone with whom I spoke recently who was telling me about the backlinks. You know, they were told that they were getting the backlinks and they were paying for it month after month after month. And he said something just wasn't right. There was something, pardon me, and please, you know, internalize this one. He said something just didn't feel right about the dialogue, the interaction between his provider when they talked and himself when they talked, you know, something just felt fishy. Mm-hmm. And he took it upon himself to get someone else, and he paid for it. He paid an independent, and this, I so recommend this. He did hire a third party to come in and do an audit. And he actually found out that a lot of his backlinks were going to Japanese porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing against the Japanese, but he was not in the porn business, I'll tell you that.
Now, here's an interesting tidbit about that. Again, I know we're talking about this and we're kind of belaboring it, but if your backlinks are heading towards pornographic or dark web sites, this, especially with, you know, antiviral programs, and now with a lot of, you know, cell phone providers offering, you know, virus protection on their phones, this may prevent someone looking for your, you know, business online to find your business, because the robots and everything are finding that your backlinks are coming from, you know, questionable sites. And if you have, if that person has higher settings, you know, for their yep. safety, it will completely block out that URL, even though your URL is a legitimate URL.
And I have to add to that, because ever since the election, okay, everybody heard about, you know, all the fake news, you know, Google, Facebook, yada, yada. Well, they've all now vowed to have algorithms, artificial intelligence, which is blowing up, by the way, that can determine whether or not a site is fake news or porn or whatever the case may be. And so your risk of getting busted for this, even if it's not you doing it, but it could be your provider, that's the point, it's going to hurt even more, because then you're not just getting smacked for black hat practices, you're getting smacked for being either an adult site, and I've seen where errors happen. You know, and this is why you have to make sure that your SEO is so clean and that, you know, there's integrity in everything. Because you could accidentally be listed as an adult site, a fake news site, an inappropriate site, a black web, a dark website. And once that happens, everything that is attached to you, any links from social media, content marketing, anything that is attached to you, to your website, is now also labeled with that also.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, let's, you know, I'm going to talk about this next point that we were talking about, is your marketer will never shut up, like how we mentioned earlier. Have you tried to talk to Camille? She will tell you about everything. But you want to, like, as a CEO or as, you know, the head of your division that deals with the marketing division, you should be at least having a once a week to once every 2 week meeting about strategy, about implementation, A/B testing. Your marketer will say to you, he or she may say to you, like, hey, you know, we tried this ad on Facebook, but we want to try some more ads. We want to do A/B testing. If you're not having these conversations, or your marketer's not bringing this up and they're mm-hmm. just slapping a bunch of numbers to you, you know, or giving you jargon that they heard from somewhere else, that's the first warning sign of a bad provider.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times, Camille, have we heard from clients, you know, that came to us saying, oh, well, they never talked about multivariate testing, or they never talked about, you know, different ad pictures to use on Facebook, or, you know, using Twitter to do this. They only mentioned something that vaguely, that something they heard on LinkedIn.
I've seen $12,000 packages that were filled, that were for SEO only, that were not only filled with fluff, but the points on there that actually were relevant to SEO or social media or content, for example, they were from like 2005.
Yes. And you know, like one other thing to say about this.
And I'm sorry, mm-hmm. it's a real shame that when that's, you know, in a very nice looking digital file or very nice stationery, that most business owners are none the wiser, you know.
And another thing that I've seen personally, and you know, Camille, and, you know, you could correct me on this, is when providers, you know, ask your provider, who's doing the back end work? Are you doing this? Are you outsourcing this?
Yes.
And it makes a big difference. You know, there's nothing against India. I have some of our closest friends are from India, but India's cultural and other understandings are far different from your business needs. They may not understand what you do for a business, and as they are great with the grunt work, how me and Camille call it, you know, like getting your ads out, you know, writing your copy and so forth, it still has to be translated by someone that, you know, is in the United States or someone in Mexico or Canada to fit specifically for that location or region. And that sometimes they may, you know, give you a lower number, but it may cause a lot of trouble later on.
Yeah, I can think of one example when I did work for a company. It was a larger company. I was head of the marketing division, but the company tried to outsource SEO to India, and our clients were local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so their PMA, primary market area, was critical. And unfortunately, they were getting some SEO where they were targeting 75 miles away, 150 miles away. And so obviously that had to change. And it did, but
the man hours that were put into changing that was just as much as actually creating it.
And considering how long it takes to index, because, you know, the bots index social media faster than they do actual SEO on your site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they got crawled back then, they would have had to wait another 6 to 9 months before they got crawled again. And then, you know, it was fixed. But, you know, by the same token, I know one friend, I would never hesitate to call him, you know, and he's also from India. So it's...
Yeah, Neil's awesome.
Neil, if you're listening to this, I love you. It's funny because Neil and I actually argued incessantly about whether, and this is back in the 2000s, about whether social media would ever become anything for business. And he disagreed with me. And 6 months later, he became the king of social media. And I love him. He's a great guy. But anyway.
But I mean, again, it's nothing to someone that outsources. So for an example, to finish this round out for this podcast, there are providers that actually would be great at what they do with sales and so forth. They'll come to you, they'll give you the statistics, they'll answer any questions, and sometimes they may outsource to someone locally or within the country that does SEO or marketing themselves. Some companies actually do that, and it's okay, you know, and it's okay for you to
sometimes
say...
Sometimes, it's okay sometimes.
Yes, it's okay
because
sometimes.
Because I have been that person, mm-hmm. you know, to whom they outsourced. And that's why I've had the pleasure and the misfortune, you know, to deliver real quality SEO that takes a long time to research and craft so that, you know, it makes a real difference and moves the needle. And I've also been outsourced by companies when I said, you know, so-and-so hasn't had their this done or that done, and I was told, oh, well, they didn't pay yet, so F them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's okay for you as a business owner or, you know, whoever that you hire to say, okay, hey, you know, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just wondering, do you guys do all the marketing and SEO and everything in-house, or you're outsourcing to someone else? And it's okay if your provider says to you, we do a lot of the sales here, you know, our local area, but we outsource to India, or we outsource to a third party that's within, you know, within the country that does it.
Think of it this way. You have the right to know who and what you are ultimately paying for.
Exactly.
Now, if someone came to you and offered you manufacturing services, he is a representative of a manufacturing company. He is not the guy who's actually on the assembly line. So it can be okay if they outsource, especially if they're very high volume. You just want to be sure that they're outsourcing to people you know, to fellow geeks like myself who are actually cranking out true and, you know, what they call white hat marketing, you know.
I'll tell you this much, you know, I've known Camille for many number of years, fortunately and unfortunately. Try playing Gears of War with her. But the truth of the matter is, from what I've seen from good marketers, they will brag about how they rose a nothing from something. And they show numbers. These are the biggest geeks in the world. Like, you want to just, you know, give them a wet willy and pull their pants over their head. And, you know, but a true marketer will be able to provide statistics from infancy to full maturity of what they've done for a client, because they take pride in that. And if mm-hmm. your marketing agency or your personal marketer is not able to show you those statistics, it doesn't mean they're not a bad marketer. It just means that they're inexperienced, and maybe you should be looking for someone more experienced and entailed that could give you those statistics and actually show real world statistics on what they've been doing. Am I right or wrong, Camille?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's really tough because it's an unregulated industry. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no one, there's no governing body that says that a marketing provider, whether it's an individual, a freelancer, a big agency, a little boutique agency, there's no one that says, you know, this minimum of training or certification has to be among your personnel, you know, or your providers. And so you have people who are running ads every day on Facebook, and, you know, for anywhere between $1,000 to $5,000, you can be convinced that, you know, you can be the next big digital marketing agency. And that's how they do it, by the way, outsourcing. Mm-hmm. Because remember, hang on, I'm actually going to turn to it. All you really have to do is say you offer digital marketing. That's the sentence in the ad. I had to take a screenshot of it because I couldn't believe it. So please talk to your provider, ask them, you know, what's new in social, you know, what's new, whatever it is that they provide to you, have a casual conversation. So what's, you know, what's new in the landscape? You know, are businesses that are different than mine, you know, do they have to have different SEO needs? Because if you're global, that's extremely different than SEO for a brick and mortar local business.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to hear what you guys think. You know, use the hashtag Ask Camille. Almost forgot Camille's hashtag, but I'm going to encourage Camille this week on the blurb of the podcast to put a quick, you know, checklist of what to ask your marketer, what to look for. Knowing Camille, she'll get this to me tomorrow. And tomorrow, I mean next year. But don't be afraid to talk to your marketer. Have this conversation. You know, like how in the 80s they told us to talk to our children about drugs. This is something you want to do. This is a conversation you want to have.
And don't be afraid to get an audit. Also, yes. An independent third-party audit.
Mm-hmm. They don't even have to talk to your primary provider. They could easily audit from the outside. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And these two people don't even have to talk to each other. And you get a sense of peace, because then you understand where your money is going to. Marketing at times could be up to 40% of your budget of your whole business. Sometimes more, sometimes less. A lot of times lately more.
Yes, and because it is unregulated, and if, let me tell you, please, if you feel awkward about it, ask yourself what you pay that provider in a year. Mm-hmm. You know, because most of the larger agencies I see, you know, they're outsourcing either to people like me, to people overseas, or, you know, to people who are just otherwise would have been customer service reps or call center people elsewhere.
Or soccer moms.
You know, but they have little scripts, they have checklists. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask. Have that conversation. Guys, let us know what you think. Use the hashtag Ask Camille. You know where to find her. I usually find her in the other room. But
it's like roast Camille Day. I shouldn't even say that because that'll give you an idea for the next podcast make it a roast. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Well, people, please look out for your business. Look out for your marketing. Make sure, again, you don't have to be an expert, but make sure you're getting what you're paying for and that they know what they're doing for you. So,
again, use the hashtag AskCamille on all social media. And I thank you so much for listening. Camille, you want to send them off?
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Remember, money is replaceable. Time is not. In this case, for this podcast, you can't afford to lose either. So thank you very much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.